Okay, Rav Elsai. So we're discussing very, very important machlokas we've shown him about the nature of this cheskas tashmishim. We saw the different shitas. Do you need a raya? Do you need a taina? Do you need 3 years, etc.? To what extent is this similar to cheskas habatim, or is this very dissimilar? Obviously, if you combine the different shitas that we mentioned, you get. You get four possibilities, right? The you could say you need a taina plus 3 years, right? That is the shita of who holds you need a taina plus the shita of Ravina Yona, the shita of the Rush, the shita of the Ritva, right? There's Ravina Yona, the Rush, the Ritva here. I don't think it's on the Koros. And this seems to also be the sheet of Tosos, I think, Adav Chav Gimel with base. Okay, we are, some of us argue about this a little, but the Reber of Mordechai on Adav Chav, sorry, Chav Gimel with Aleph says that there was a case there where they had a Havmin of Chazakah, that they could have trees which brought some birds which damaged Rav Yosef. And he says, says the Reber of Yosef. He says, Shalobataina, you don't need a taina. Mistama, they didn't say he sold them the right to do this. It's just out of taina, like Kordi and Shuri and everything else. Well, it's Chazaka Blobataina, Milo Micha, Gimel Shana, Machalo. Right, as long as for 3 years he didn't say anything, that's good enough without a taina. That's the Rivam says, the Reber of Mordechai. And Tos themselves, the Stam Tos says, but ain't nearer. Can't be. After all, if there was no taina, if there was no kinyan, and if it was just stam and implicit mechila, then why would anyone say akhtik lordi, akhtik luxuri? Again, what we put in the Rabbeinu Yonah here. Rather, karchach, it must be a taina. And I'm assuming that Tosus means, even though Tosus specifically taught about lordi and shuri, assuming Tosus means in general. Chazaka means a taina. He doesn't say his mind for the Rivam was 3 years. So, you know, probably. That's certainly the mashmaos of Tosos and Afkav Gimel and Aleph, in not in the name of someone, but the Stam Tosos, because the Reber of Mordechai says, you don't need a taina, you just need 3 years. He says, you do need a taina, assuming he means in general you need a taina. Obviously, he still thinks you mean 3 years. He hasn't changed that. You need a taina plus 3 years. That's the main sheet, you need a taina plus 3 years. There's also a sheet that you need a taina, but you don't need 3 years. Right, who holds that you need a taina? What do you mean in taina? To claim that you bought or did a kinyan or somehow acquired this from him. You can't just say stam, you didn't object. But you don't need 3 years. That's Rashi here, right? Rashi and Amud Beis. We pointed out in our sugya, this is mostly the Tosefos is in Rashi, but there seems to be a real Rashi on Amud Beis that that implies this. And certainly the Tosefos in Rashi here in the Rashbam on Daf. Andafim Alephim and Aleph, and the Rishvam and Joseph is here, and he holds you need a taina, but la'alter is is good enough. So this would be Rashi and Vavon Beis and the Rashvam, which we assume above the Dafim Alephim and Aleph. Again, if we assume he's the author of the Tosefos and Rashi, and that would fit the fact of the Rashbam himself, and the Ma'am Aleph says, the wordy, and that he refers to that one and says, oh, that was a taina, but it was right away. So that would be the shita of a taina, but right away. Then there is a shita of, even without taina, but you still need Kibbul Shanim. That's what we read, was the Rivam. And Tosfos and Dachav Gimel and Aleph, he says, if he didn't say anything for 3 years, he was obviously Michael. But you don't need a taina. You don't have to claim you bought it from him or you acquired it in some way. 3 years, he was Michael. And we point out that Tosfos right there, that was in brackets, also holds the exact same thing, the Rid, and Dachav Gimel and Aleph. And then there was a very, very popular Shita, I believe, taina la'alter. As soon as, again,
Obviously, you have to, we're not going to get into all the details. You have to figure out practically all the altar, because it doesn't mean if I go at 3 a.m. and I start doing something and no one objects. I have a halak, it means the altar as soon as he sees it and doesn't object.
Or for some things, 30 days. As soon as he doesn't object, he's immediately moichel, and I acquired the right to do that. That is a very, very popular shita. Who did we have who held that shita? We point out the Rambam. We pointed out the Gaonim, right? Were quoted by the Ramban, etc. He also quoted the Rif and the Rabbeinu Hananel. The Ramban himself is Machriya that way. The Yad Rama, maybe it wasn't the Makoros, is Machriya that way.
Right, this is a very, very popular Shita. I would say definitely most of the Sfardic Shonim, the Rambam, the Gaonim, the Rif, and the Rach in the Ramban, and all the Beit Midrash, they're all telling the Ramban also quote them. Yeah, they don't at least the Gaonim, the Yad Rama, the Ramban, and many other Sfardic Rishonim hold this way. What's the Yesod of this Machlokas? What's going on here?
So I think the more Yesodistic Machlokas is,
is do you need a tiny or don't you need a tiny? Meaning, before we get to how long it takes, right? What is going on here, right? Are we saying that you claim, what's the case? He claims to have done a business transaction and acquired this right. We don't know if he's telling the truth. So if the other guy didn't object, that proves he's telling the truth. Or do we say, no, since no one said anything, you were obviously mochel, and that is good enough. I think we can have a rashba here, right? Also, the rashba brings different datas here in Nafka. That's pretty clear which way he himself is machriya. Meaning, is mechila good enough? Right? Is implicit mechila good enough? Just shtika kahuda good enough? Not shigoda. Is implicit mechila good enough? Or do you need an explicit transaction? So that's the basic machlokas, right? Here's the basic machlokas here. Implicit mechila is enough, or no, you need an explicit takna. Oh, what's the point of his not objecting to shtika? His shtika proves you must have done hakna if that's what you're claiming. Yeah, the hakna is obviously, what if you just say, law, related, other government, olam, right? The Rambam, et cetera, say, if no one said anything, you acquire the right. And the Rashbam, and Rabbi Nigel, say, no. If you say no one said anything to me, you have no rights. You admit, no, you admit you didn't do anything. You have to have a story that you're backing up. Okay, what's the basis of this machlokas? Well, let's first ask, why isn't implicit mechila good enough? Why isn't implicit mechila good enough? Right, let's ask ourselves a question, right? On the Rashbam and the Rush and the Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosos. And some fellows want to argue that Tosos only meant the word Yishuri. Is with a tiny number of other things over there. I wasn't so convinced. Why isn't implicit mechila enough? Meaning, even without a tiny, after all, what did I do? I put my beans on his wall, or I let my water drain onto his property, two cases in, our sugda, or I put a ledge over his, I extended a ledge over his yard, or I opened a window onto his yard, or any of the other cases that everyone here discusses. Why isn't it enough that he just didn't object? If he didn't object, he was obviously mochel. So, okay.
You don't know what's in his mind. Maybe he thought he didn't think he temporarily.
Right. So basically, there are two ways to explain the manda amr that you need a taina. What are the two ways to explain the manda amr that you need a taina? You could say that he's arguing psychology. Who says he was mochel just because he didn't object? Maybe there are other reasons he didn't object. Maybe he was just too timid to object. Right? Not that he was mochel, he was just too timid to object. Maybe he was too busy to object. Maybe, you know, he didn't think that you were going to keep this for a long time, and he assumed that it wasn't
know, that it was just tempering. There could be a million reasons he didn't object, right? Arguments from silence are always very weak psychologically. Because you never know. If I say something, you know what I said. If I don't say anything, you never know why I didn't say it. It's all theories. And who says this is the right theory? So you could say that the reason is psychological.
So why would it work with a timer if there's a reason why there's a shorter?
Because what you're saying is this. Let me say that. If the guy has a taina, he claims he paid me 1,000 shekel for this right, I claim Bohayu Dvar Miola. Then, if I didn't object, you know, if I didn't object, that, let me think about this for a second. Okay. You're right. I have to say it a little better. I'd say it like this. If I didn't object, Dovi's right. After all, if he has a taina, we ask, why didn't I object? And we say that does prove something. Or let's assume that it does prove something, right? This might depend on how you read Feskes Avatim, et cetera. But let's assume that it does prove something. What I have to say is this. If I didn't object, that proves that I...
It doesn't prove anything, but having a time, it gives more...
No, but it does prove something, right? One of them is trying to prove that you had the right to do this. The other is trying to prove that I made a mechila.
Right?
I think that's what you have to say. You have to say, if you want to say that I didn't object, the fact that I didn't object proves that I thought you had the right to do this. But that doesn't necessarily mean, so why doesn't that mean that I was mochel? Let's say there's no story. Let's say everyone admits there was no story, right? Everyone is no Kenyan. So if I didn't object, that proves you have the right to do this. Why would you have the right to do this? Okay, I think I have to say like this. All that proves is that that is a little tricky. If you say maybe I just if you say maybe all that proves is that
he didn't exert his ownership. It doesn't mean that he gave up the ownership.
Maybe when there's a taina, he has to say something. He must be megipta.
Okay, this one. I think you could still say it. You could say that if there's two versions of the story, if you have one version of the story, I have the other version of the story, and I was silent, then my silence proves that your version of the story is more credible than my version of the story. Is evidence for your version of the story. If there's no story, and we want to assume that I was mochel, having no basis whatsoever, basically my silence plus your taina is a good enough proof. My silence without a taina is just not a good enough proof. When you have a taina and then my silence beefs up your taina, that's a good enough proof. When there's no taina, right, the taina also has power. When there's no taina, then my silence does not prove anything. It's not strong enough to prove anything.
The time is only coming after you've been silent. I mean, the silence in both the Mechila and the Pas Taina case are exactly the same silence, meaning they're just then the guy comes along and makes a taina. How do we say that, like, your silence is different? Based off of them that I do think.
I guess I'm thinking quantitatively how much power it has. You need more hochacha to establish something that was not taina than that was taina. But okay, I realize I'm gonna have to think about this this a little better. Don't be saying maybe it's not really a possibility, which I can live with in the end. But I didn't want to focus on this. But you have to figure it out. If we say, I think ultimately what you have to say is that we don't assume people are mochel something without any basis. I think that's what you have to say. You have to say, if one guy claims that he made a deal with me, you know, whether he paid me 1,000 shekel or whether he paid me nothing, but you know, there's always Thomas Hana, it's always part of, everything's a business deal. Gifts are also exchanges, right? If the guy claims he made a deal with me, then that's mistabra that I might have made a deal with him. And therefore, my silence proves I made a deal with him.
to assume I was mochel for no reason. Why would I be mochel for no reason? It's not mastaber that someone's mochel for no reason. That's what you have to say. Not like I was saying before. You have to say psychologically that, what do you mean by psychological? That it's not like, it's unlikely. It's unlikely that someone was mochel for no reason. Right? That gets me out of Dobie's attack. It's unlikely someone was mochel for no reason. If the guy claims he bought it for me, it's likely people buy and sell and have exchanges in with their neighbors. But it's unlikely. Why would I be mochel for no reason? Anything's possible, but it's not a stopper. I would be mochel for no reason. So psychologically, we don't think I was mochel for no reason. Well, what's the we try to say more likely than not? What's the reason for the Russia that Ben Yona would be mom who say you need a taina? Why is implicit mechila good enough? I mean, one thing is saying there is no implicit mechila, but Dovi, what's the stronger option that Dovi prefers?
This is good enough.
That exactly, that it's not psychological, it's halachic. Meaning, the reason implicit mechila is not enough, not because we don't believe there's implicit mechila, it's because mechila is not enough, because mechila is very different from Kenyan. What's the difference between mechila and Kenyan? Someone, if someone were to explain to me, let's say I'm not Jewish, and I ask you, what's the difference between mechila and haknah? How can you explain it most pithily? What's the difference between mechila and haknah?
Mechila, one person, he pulls himself back, and the haknah.
Haknah means I'm giving you something you don't have. Mechila means I'm telling you, you don't have to give me something. Haknah is I'm giving you something. Mechila means I'm telling you, you don't have to give me something. Right? That's why I can't say to Moshe, Moshe, I am mochel this tie to you. Now it's your tie. Because it's my tie. You can't give someone your own things through mechila. Mechila we only find by a chov. You can tell someone they don't have to pay back. Right, or by more ethereal things. So maybe it's halachic, it's that mechila cannot transfer rights in karka. I mean, not in the talk book either, that's just the example we're using here in most of the cases. I mean, mechila is only negative until you don't have to pay me back. Mechila can't transfer rights to you. This is my Kotzer. You claim that no one said anything to you. We want to say maybe implicitly it was mochel. I gave you the right to put your beams in my. Clearly, I can't sue you, Lamafreya, for putting your beams there if I was mochel. But that I gave you a permanent right forever for the next 1,000 years that you could beams in my kotel. I gave you a shibud in my kotel, right? Shibud karka. No, I can't give you a shibud in my property through mechila. I can only release things through mechila. I can't give things through mechila. Mechila is only to release things, not to give things. Meaning, that's l'chora, the chakira. The chakira is it that there is no implicit mechila? Because we just don't believe that it's so mistaber. It's not so likely for no reason, or that there is, but it doesn't work. Right, that's the Hakira in the Rashi Rabbeinu Yona Udi Imam. The Nafkamina is obvious. The Nafkamina is, what if I have a Taina, but my Taina is that you were mochel to me. My Taina is not that we did a Maisa Kinyan. My Taina is that you were mochel to me, the deeper Grega. My Taina is, I ask you, could you be mochel to me? And Bethemali explicitly, you said, I am mochel to you that you can put your beams on my wall. Right? What if you have tainus mechila mefureshes b'li ma'isa kinyan? Right? That's the nafkamina between these two. Drachim. Nafkamina is tainus mechila mefureshes b'li ma'isa kinyan. If you hold that mechila would work, but we don't believe this that someone would be mochel for no reason, then you would say that here it's a valid chazaka. Because here, the guy said, I asked him if you look righteous, you had a reason, you had incentive to do it. There's a story that explains why you were vocal to me. Well, if you say Mechila just doesn't work, then you'd say, well, Hefzik, after all, fine, we believe that it is vocal to you, but it doesn't matter. That's no halachic effect. I have a halachic effect. It's hard to, sometimes hard to even daiking law should be shown in because you don't know how davka they use the words mechila sometimes. But Rabbeinu Yonah here at least did say, most of the portion don't relate to this, but Rabbeinu Yonah here did say in one line that you need a taina. And when he gives examples of taina, most of them say you need kinyan or nesina. Okay, nesina sounds like you did some sort of, you know, maisa nesina of some sort, you know, a sudar or a shtar or something like this. Rabbeinu Yonah brings this down. He says that Kigun Shabbat Taina. He says all the chazakas are taina. Every chazaka needs a taina. There's no such thing as a chazaka without a taina. And then he says someplace here when he lists examples of taina. Give me a second. He's coming someplace here. What's his lashon? He talks about Titus Mechira, but at some point he says what? Kulis right because that's my Taina, right? Oh, Tainis Mechira Shemachalo Beferish. He sounds like the first line. Mechila Beferish would work. Again, let's say Labdafka. Take it off. Dafka, this would be Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah would say, I require Taina, but I require Taina for psychological reasons. Because we can't assume someone's mochal for no reason. And therefore, you need a Taina. But Mechila Beferish would work if we knew it happened. As opposed to, maybe we'd think that the Rosh and the Tosos and others might say no. That mechila fundamentally doesn't work with the kasha of all the akhrot. Okay, so let's go to now we have two drachim to understand the mandar when you need a taina. Yes, Ari.
Does Rebbe think that the first way, the psychological, when it's in a focus, a machlokas, how fundamentally similar kasha confusion is discussed a lot in the first place? Is that how it's covered in the first place?
Could be, but it's psychological machlokas. We all know no one would give up their arka for no reason, right? Would someone give up a cheskas tashmish mimocha for no reason? How likely is that? Okay.
Yeah, but you make this gemara themselves on a test that, like, whether 3 years of cheskas tavatim is because of a shar or because of like a raya, and if you say two things cheskas tavatim over there is a raya, then here it would only just be a raya and would not be mechila.
Correct. Correct. So that's the question of how. That's the other Rishbam. The Rishbam keeps integrating that. That's enough. Melvin says, "Oh, and it says chazak in this parak means all the chazakas." And other people say, "No, it doesn't mean this kind of chazaka."
When you say a mechil lukareshes, the owner said you can do it. He didn't limit it. He didn't modify it. He said you can use it. And doesn't that mean he can always use it? Unless he specifically can use it today or something.
That depends if a mechila has the power to. Again, let me give you the following example. Let us say. Right now, I am mochel to you that you can drive my car whenever you want. I don't think anyone would say that has any halachic effect. I said it, I meant it, it doesn't matter. There's no halachic effect. That's why there's rules of kinyanim. In order to give you the permanent right in something, I need to do a kinyan, not a mechila. So mechila doesn't work for everything, even if the guy needs it.
Would it matter that Rabbi Yonah thinks that I'm going to give Oshana here? Meaning his mechila being...
correct. If you say you can shun, that would imply that you're writing a star, which is before. So if you're writing a star, maybe that would imply that the chilo is the a star, which is you have a mice kitten.
Or like the tiny of mechila is like a more like, sorry, yeah, the tiny of
yeah. Okay, so you're right. It's a little tricky. Maybe I'd say maybe, because we don't know. Maybe you have the chilo of a star, which is you have a king of star. I think that's what you're trying to say. That's not what I'm trying to say.
You're right. We also mean, I know, like, Mechila bit maybe, like, Rana mentioned that might be something more significant.
No, not to this.
Okay. So, all right. This, why do I say it maybe? Because Rabbeinu Yonah does mention Mechila Mefreshes, but he also mentions there's a star. So, Mechila Mefreshes plus a star really becomes Kinyan Star, not Mechila. So, we're not sure exactly what he meant by this. Okay. Implicit Mechila is enough, right? You have to make two assumptions. What are the two assumptions? One assumption is not so controversial, and one assumption is more. Meaning, if implicit mechila is good enough, that means A,
there is implicit mechila. Okay, that we can. And B, mechila has the power to transfer a right in karka. That first assumption, and that first assumption, not so controversial. Okay, everyone has their own sheet in psychology, everyone has their own minutes. So what would the Gaon of the Rambam say? They would say, if you don't object, we assume you're mochel forever. Okay, granted that assumption. Where did that assumption come from? They think it's common that people will be mochel if they don't object, because after all, it's not really hurting me. Right? What's the big deal? It's just you're using my karka, I'm a nice guy, it's not the end of the world, so it's not what I was mochel you can do forever. They also assume that, again, the assumption is not that if I'm mochel that right now you can put your that if I'm mochel that this week, that this year you could put your beams, then I can't go yell at you at the end of the year, why don't you do it? Obviously. The chiddush is that if I'm mochel implicitly, you can put your beams on my wall, you can put them forever, and I can never ask you to remove them, no matter what. You have the eternal right to put the beams on my wall, or to have your roof drain onto my karka, or to have your ledge go over back in the nun chesed test over my yard, or to open a window that looks on my yard, etc.
This mechila obviously has to be in front of AD.
No.
What's the basis?
It's implicit mechila. Now, obviously.
If there's no basis.
Okay, so let's assume I bring Aiden that you walked around and noticed it and didn't say anything.
No, I'm talking about aiding with mechila mufureshet. Aiding with mechila mufureshet has to be a very strong.
No. I claim you're mochel to me between the two of us, and you claim you weren't. So since you didn't object for 3 years, that proves I'm telling the truth. That's a rena yonah.
But if you just have mechila mufureshet in front of two aiding, isn't that almost as strong as a shtar?
No, mechila in front of aiden is not as strong as a shtar. Haraya. How many Edom are there here? There are lots of Edom, right? There are lots of Edom. Morning, in front of all these Edom, I am being mochel to you that you can drive my car whenever you want. That has no halachic effect whatsoever, because mechila only works for forgoing loans. It doesn't work for transferring ownership. That's the kasha of the achronim. Okay, so how does it work? What power does it have, right? And that's the question that we really want to know. This is where I wanted to get to, even though we got sidetracked a little, right? How does mechila have this power? How does mechila work? Right, everyone starts with the lashon of the Rashba, right? There's a Rashba on Daf Chaf Ches when the Gemara talks about a chazaka without a taina. The Gemara talks about chazaka without a taina on Daf Chaf Ches, and the Rashba says, well, of course you get me mochel karka to someone. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. He says, but I hold like the Rambam, the Gaonim, or he says, I hold like the Gaonim, really, that you can be mochel cheskes tashmishim. So he says here someplace, he says, k'inesh avru b'gaonim zal, kol darshen mechasru karko, whenever I'm taking away your land, just using your land, the tainas savlonis means that you didn't object, mahanyalei midin mechila, like Rabbi says, etc. He says, but of course, Karkin, I can't give you my land with Mechila. If I'm mochel my stud, it doesn't help. But the Shibudim, what is Shibudim? Like rights in a Karka, Shibud, right? I have the right to put my beam on your land, etc., to drain my roof onto your land, etc. Right? If I put my ledge over your over your chatzer, or I stick my beam into your wall, you can be mochel that you don't have to remove it. This is not like giving karka. This is just like being mochel on debts or on rights. Basically, the Rashba says mechila works because I'm just mochel that you don't have to remove them. Mechila works on mochel that you don't have to remove them. So the Rashba seems to say, you know, it's always hard to tell. I mean, some of these Achronim will say he didn't mean it literally. But it certainly sounds very literally. He says, it's not midin kinis, it's mochel al shibudim, right? He seems to say it's midin mechila. But everyone jumps at him. What do you mean midin mechila? I don't know what's mechila. He says, a mochel, you don't have to stop doing what you're doing. You don't have to remove your beam. You don't have to remove your leg. You don't have to remove your window, etc.
And what did Rabbi Chanan say to him? Rabbi Chanan right there in Chachesa and Beis said, I didn't bring it with me, but it's on Mori's Makoros. Rabbi Chanan said, I know what you're talking about. You know, who has a copy of Mori's Makoros sheet? Morty's 21. No, Morty's 20. Morty's 20. Sorry, I should have printed it out for myself. That's it. What does Rabbi Chanan say right there? He quotes the Rashba. Everyone knows this famous Rashba. And he says, Sarif Ian. He says, he doesn't know what you're talking about. If I say my chutzah is muchel to you, you can put a ledge. How does that help? I can't be muchel to you the right to do something with my land. If I said, I'm giving it to you, that's one thing. Or I'm a shabbat, that's one thing. He says, really, he doesn't understand how mechila should work. So a mochel, you don't have to take down your ledge. How does that give you the right to keep your ledge? Right? Again, a mochel, you can keep driving my car. That doesn't help. Even if a mochel, if you already drove my car, it can be mochel, I will sue you for it. You already drove, ain't it? Come on, push it. But giving mochel, you can keep driving my car. Because mechila does not work to create a transit, and he leaves the rashbam sort of eon. And that's the problem that all the Afrodim had. Mechila only works to tell you not to pay a debt. Mechila does not work to transfer ownership of something you didn't previously own. And I'm trying to transfer to you the ownership of a certain right, a certain easement, whatever they call it, or, you know, we have to ask earlier what the lawyers call the right to do something in my property. An easement, maybe it's called an easement.
Yeah.
I'm transferring to you an easement on my property. And how does that work with mechila? And therefore, the Tos and the Sivas here say a big finish. Remember who was here last year? Remember we discussed the Tos and the Sivas last year? We use this as the basis for understanding the Shita of Rashi as opposed to Rashi and Sachin, as opposed to Rashi and Balabasra, and the Sivas Mavtech. Even if we weren't here last year, you must learn Sachin, you must discuss this. What do the Tos and the Sivas here both say? The Tos and the Sivas say, it doesn't really mean Mechila. All the Lashon of Mechila is La'adavka. It really means Kenyan Chazaka. We all know Karka is nicknamed the Gibel Drach, the Kesef, the Shtar, Uba Chazaka. And if Karka can be acquired with Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka, then it's Lechora, a obvious Svara, that Shibud Karkos can also be acquired with Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. It's a little funny. They are being the farish, the Maggid Mishnah, who's quoting the Rashba. I don't know if they had a copy of the Rashba. They had a copy of Maggid Mishnah, who basically brings down the Lashon of the Rashba. So if they'd seen the Rashba inside, the Rashba really sounds like he's saying Mechila. I don't know if they said it. But certainly, I think all the other Rishonim who say Mechila, this is what they mean. Says the Nesivas, he brings down a famous machlokes between the Ma'arit and the Machne Ephraim of Schirus. If I want not to acquire your, okay, let's go back a second. There's a machlokes in the Rambam and the other Rishonim. We'll obviously have to deal with this. This is a big, big sugya in the third parak. The machlokes in the Rambam and the other Rishonim about whether Achilas Peros counts as Kenyan Chazaka or not. And here, okay, basically this can be a very, very big deal. Chazaka and Karka, but we're not getting into this now. I promise you won't ask me too many questions about this. Chazaka and Karka is used in two different contexts, both in the third parak of Nasa, which makes it interesting. You know, one in the beginning and one in pretty much back in the middle. The Chazaka is a way of being Kona Karka, meaning Kesef Shtar and Chazaka. Ari wants to sell me an apartment building, we can do Kesef Shtar or Chazaka. Then there's also Chez Kasabatim, right? If I'm Machzik in your Karka for 3 years, then that's a proof that it's mine. That's not the Kenyan, but it's a proof. He's going, no, said there that it must be mine for some reason. Chez Kasabatim is very clearly done through Achilas Peros, right? Through, you know, literally eating the produce if it's a field or if it's a, you know, if it's an apartment or a bathhouse, meaning using it. It's when Chazaka of Chezka Zabatin, the Chazaka of the proof of 3 years, that's Achilas Peros. Okay, is it anything else? Hash does not. Then it is the Chazaka of Kenyan Chazaka, the momentary Maisa Kenyan that two people do together to make a Kenyan. Kenyan Chazaka is Na'al Gadar Uparetz. Okay, we're not sure exactly what Na'al Gadar Uparetz means, but we know more or less Na'al Gadar Uparetz has something to do with opening and closing the access to the field. Na'al, I lock it, or I put a lock. Gadar, I put a fence. Paratz, I break the fence, meaning opening or closing access to the field. And then there seem to be other examples also in Shas. How about Achilas Peiros? Is Achilas Peiros, which the Cheskis Gimel Shanim also work as Kenyan Hadaka? So that is a machlokas between the Rama and basically everyone else. As the Ketzos brings it down nicely, the Nesivos only summarizes, says, Enachlami, the Rama holds that Karka is Nikneb Achilas Peiros. But the Raiva doesn't hold their way, and the Rashbam, and the Ramban, and the Rashba, and the Ran, and the Rush, and the Tor, and basically no one agrees with him.
How is eating the fruits different from opening the gate and going in and picking the fruits?
Because when I lock or unlock the gate, I am demonstrating that I own this place because I control who comes in and who comes out. When I eat the fruits, I'm benefiting from the place. Just because that doesn't necessarily demonstrate that I'm the owner of the place, maybe I just want the fruits. That's my focus, and we paskin against the Rambam. We paskin Achilas Peiros is not a Maisa Kinyan. So, for example, if Ari wants to sell me his orchard, and he says Le Chazeku Kni, and I go in and I pick the oranges, I have not been kodeh. But the Nesivos brings down a machlokas between the Maharit and the Machne Ephraim. Now, what about Schiris? Right? What about Schiris? What if I want to rent a field from you? Is Achilas Peiros enough of a Kinyan Chazaka to rent a field or no? Whatever doesn't work for buying doesn't work for renting. And the Maharit says renting has the exact same standards as buying. And the Machne Ephraim says, no, renting has lower standards. Why does renting have lower standards? Because the Kinyan Chazaka needs to be proportional to what I'm requiring. If I'm requiring the field itself, I need to do something to the field itself, right? Like lock it up or unlock it or build a fence or take down a fence, etc. If I'm only acquiring usage of the field, then I need to do something to the usage of the field. What's the usage of the field? I'll feel those papers. Makes a lot of sense. A chazaka on the gof hadavar is kona the gof hadavar. A chazaka of the shimash hadavar is kona the shimash hadavar. And he wants to bring a, in the end, he says a very fancy shmancy tzvei dinim. This is a very, very chashu tzvei dinim, the Nesiva says here. He says there are actually two kinds of schemas, two kinds of rental. There's a rental where you merely acquire the right to use something, and there's a rental where you temporarily acquire the gof itself. Right, really, you say, is a hakira. What is schemas, right? What is schiras? Is schiras mimkar liyomi, like it says in Baba Mitzia? Is schiras a temporary ownership? Or no, just the right to use? Meaning, do I own the car while I'm renting the car? Or no, I never own the car. Hertz and Avis own the car. I just own the right to use the car. Says the Nesivos, he says, the Maharit brings a big raya against the Machne Ephraim. He says, there's a case where a woman wanted to acquire a get, and therefore she wanted to acquire the house that the get was in. A few parallel cases he brings, and he says, you need to lock the door. Why not just use the house? The answer is, it's Fadim and Skiris. If I lock the door, I acquire the goof of the bias for a day. If I just use the house, I only acquire the right to use the house for a day. And then Afkamina is, if I only acquire the right to use a house, then whatever lands in the house is not in my property. It's only property that I'm using, so I don't have a Kenyan Chatzar, so she can't acquire the get. If she acquires the house for the day, then whatever lands in the house is in her Chatzar. So she has a Kenyan Chatzar, she acquires the get, and therefore it says in the Sivas, very distracted by the Dean of Schiras. He says there's two kinds of Schiras. There's a Schiras of Zchoshimosh, which you can acquire through Achilas Peiros, because that's a Chazaka that's appropriate to what you're acquiring. Then there's a schiras of bailus lizman, which you can only acquire through nagad or paratz, and therefore, in order to acquire the right to use it for the day, I could just use it. But in order to acquire the ownership for the day, which is necessary if I want to do it to own the get that's in there and get divorced, then I need to do nagad or paratz. Okay, that's not our inyan. Basically, what does the Nesiva say? The Nesiva says, I have a proof for the Machne Ephraim against the Maharit. What's my proof that Achilas Peiros is enough for Chazaka for Zuchos Shimosh? Our Sugya. After all, the Gaonim and the Rambam and maybe most of the Rishonim say that mechila works. Obviously, it can't be mechila. Obviously, mechila can't work. That's ridiculous. Mechila can't work. Mechila can't work. Obviously, they must be lavdafka mechila. They must be a real kenyan. What kenyan could it be? It must be kenyan chazaka. Why? Because if I'm using your property, right? Any of the examples that we keep mentioning, if I'm using your property, then I'm using the property, achilas paris. I'm doing achilas paris. I'm using your property. And if you're mocha, what that means is that you let me use your property. And not only that, you let me use your property forever. You let me have the right to use your property. So basically, when you're mocha, it's like saying lecha zeyuki, even though if you're from the field, it's not so posh, and maybe you just mostly say lecha zeyuki. Okay. They're assuming that you have low standards. All you need to do is implicitly say lecha zeyuki. When you're mocha, or maybe it's fun. When you're mochel, you're giving permission to do kenyan chazaka. When I use your property, I'm doing kenyan chazaka, and therefore I've acquired it through kenyan chazaka, and that proves that achilas peiros counts as kenyan chazaka if I'm not acquiring the guf hakarka, but only acquiring the shivash karka. That is the ksos and siva say. They say it's kenyan chazaka. What's their shita? They say afal pi dekaimalon the achilas peiros. Meaning shimosh eino kenyan chazaka hidei liknos guf hakarka. It is kenyan chazaka liknos guf shimosh hakarka. Kedas, Machle Ephraim, again at the Maharit, Achilas Peiros, Avi Kenyan Chazaka, Liknos, Peiros Karka. Okay, that's what both the Ksos and the Siva say. They say that Kenyan Chazaka is somewhat flexible. You have to do something which represents what you are being kona. If you're being kona gufa davar, you need to fence or unfence the gufa davar. If you're being kona the shimash hadavar, there's a chos shimash, a shiba tashmishin, then it's enough just being mashamish. And therefore they say, really, kinyan chazaka is not mechila. That's the chiddush of the ksos and the sivos, that kinyan chazaka is flexible. And even though you need a more serious kinyan chazaka for the gufa davar, to be kona is a chos shimash hadavar, it's enough to be mashamish. And therefore, when I put my beam, that's a kinyan chazaka for the right to keep the beam. When I drain my rainwater, that's a kinyan chazaka for the right to drain my rainwater. That's what both the Ksos and the Siva say here. They say it can't really mean mechila. Yes?
Not to like make cheetahs, but this are meaning, according to Ramam, says that field theorists would be going into the middle of the park. Definitely, you can't say that. You can't use this logic.
Why not?
Because then when every single cheskas then you would have
the difference would be that if I let you put your beam on my wall, then I really intend to tell you to do a kinyan chazaka and acquire that because I want you for the beam forever because I'm a nice guy. But if I let you eat the, if I don't object to you eating the wheat that grows in my field, there is not an umdun that I want to give you my field for. Why would I want to give you my whole field?
So mechila there wouldn't be implicit.
Correct, exactly. The difference would be psychological. There is an implicit kinyan chazaka. Maybe you don't technically say lechel zeyuki, because that's only if he's not there. Here, I'm there. There is an implicit kinyan chazaka in shimash. There is no implicit kinyan chazaka for gufa karka. Because, but you're right, explicitly it would work.
Then it goes back to the original psychological.
Correct. Okay, but that's pretty reasonable. But you're right, according to the Rambam, if I said, I'll keep the land and I let you pick the oranges, then it's not, that would be reasonable. But, I mean, that's an home that I think we all agree that just because I don't say anything and pick the oranges of my land doesn't mean I want to give you the whole field as present. That would be a very big present. It's unlikely I want to give it to you. I don't want to give away your whole real estate. Whoever gives away real estate. That's crazy. As opposed to give you the right to keep your beams by wall forever. You know, like nice people often give that away. Not so crazy. Okay, so that's the
Are they saying that this is what the Rashbam meant, or is this a chiddush? Is this a whole other?
So again, I don't think they had a copy of the Rashba. I don't think they had a copy of the Rashba. They had the Tosafos starting with the Rambam. The Rambam said it's ridiculous. Mechila is not a kenyan. How could it be? So he says this. But if you want to be makna a tashmish, you can makna tarshin. See, he's working off the Rambam, and the Nesivas, if I'm not mistaken, is working off the Magen Mishnah. And if I'm in the Magen Mishnah, is quoting the Rashba, but summarizing. I must admit, if you actually, yeah, he says the Magen Mishnah. Send my Mishnah only Mechila Shibut. Okay, the Magen Mishnah is one word Mechila. You could say he doesn't mean Mechila, he means Kenyan Chazaka. I think it's a little harder to say that in the Rashba and Daf Kofkes, right? Neither the Tosafos and Nesivas, I don't know if they had a copy in the Rashba and Rashba. The Tosafos and Nesivas did have copies of Rishonim that the generation before them didn't, but they didn't necessarily have a full set. So I don't know if they had a copy of the Rashba and Bava Basra.
You're still going to need the Mechila. In the Chazaka, just like setting up the Mechila in a way. Mm-hmm. Meaning, in order for the wall to be, you know, to give over this right, so there might have to be something that's like forcing him, like there's like a, this guy has done something and now he has to respond to it, which then ends up with Mechila. So,
I mean, how about that?
I'm not saying in Chazaka that we assume.
We assume that letting people take a talk. Because I didn't say anything, I'm implicitly saying go ahead and do a Tanya Chazaka.
Meaning that's Mechila.
I don't know what you mean by that's Mechila.
Meaning you're not saying that if whoever comes into the beam at any point.
I'm saying you're a beam, but I'm looking at now and I'm different.
Right, maybe that's only after he's actually done
it. Correct, only after he's actually done it. Until he's done it, why would I think that I'm a
good right, right. To do it? That's very different than the Sears case. Well, the Sears case, there's an agreement.
But it was also work before. Yeah, that's fine. Let's say I said, no, I think the Sears also say, let's say you ask, Can I keep my beam on your wall? And I say sure. And then obviously you put the beam on the wall, that would be Kenyan Chazaka.
So we're saying retroactively what he did.
Not retroactively, from now on. You put the beam on the wall one day, on Tuesday I notice and I don't say anything. From Tuesday you're doing Kenyan Chazaka and you're coming.
Even though you're not doing anything yet, even the wall.
You are, because you're continuing to do your time by keeping your beam there. That's the Kenyan Chazaka. That's an interesting question. Is it Kenya Chazaka to continue to use something or only do a mice of using something?
Yeah, so I think you have to pick up one. Meaning, Chazaka is setting up like a tension where you then need him.
I'm still not sure what you mean. I might say a little better. If you put the beam on Monday and I notice on Tuesday I don't say anything, maybe the moment you sit under the beam, you're doing a Kenya Chazaka.
Wait, why don't we assume that you. Rebbe.
So if I give you money, now there's a phone. So you were responding to something that was already there.
Correct. What I'm saying is here you're psychologically responding, but you're not halakhically responding. That's what the Tosafos and Nesivos are saying. Psychologically, obviously, you're responding, but halakhically, you're not responding. That's what the Tosafos and Nesivos are saying.
The Rashba,
okay, let's get back to the Rashba in a moment. Yes.
Why is it so precious that you need a Kenyan? Like, when Mitalting, a Shoel, according to many Rishonim, can be without a Maisa Kenyan, and you have a right to use an object. So why is it so...
I mean, not halach l'maisa, right? We say, Hashem shetik m'neshiva b'kuchos kaktit m'neshiva b'shorim. Yesh l'ayin, what was true before that?
Remember the rule that you don't need a Maisa Kenyan to be a
shorim. Yesh l'ayin, what was true before that? But the simple shot is, I think, according to the vast majority of Rishonim, whether you're a Raisa or you're a Bana, if I just say you can borrow my axe, you don't have the right to use the axe yet. Could be baka b'kno'o, midor Raisa, midor Bana, m'neshicha. I think 99% of Rishonim agree. If I just say you can borrow my axe, you don't have the right to use my axe. I can still change my mind. Shachnira. Okay, let's go back to the Rashba for a second. The Rashba really sounds like he's talking about Mechila, though. He doesn't sound like the Tosafos and the Nesivos. Again, they didn't see the Rashba. He really sounds like he's talking about Mechila as opposed to Hakna. He keeps saying Midin Mechila. Again, you could say he means it all Avdafi. He means Midin Kenyan Chazaka. But he keeps saying midin mechila yimcholosh lo yisalkin mincham. He even used like a lashon mechila. You're mochel because remember what's in the mechila? God's giving you something. Mechila is saying you don't have to pay me back. He's really trying to say mechila. I'm mochel. You don't have to take off your beam, right? But what gives you the eternal right to place the beam there? He didn't say this about mechila. They don't want to explain how it really could be mechila.
I read it in Tibur Mishpat differently. I thought maybe he was saying that, and this could be what the Rashi is saying. I thought maybe he was saying that the Mechila does work for Tibur, it just doesn't work for the
That's not what I seem saying. I seem saying that the Kini Mechila works for the Peirot. Okay, we can argue about it later, but I'm not partial to that.
Yeah, Kini Mechila works for the Peirot.
I didn't see where he said that. Okay, you have to show me where he said that. Okay, now.
Well, I guess I'm saying maybe that could be a sheet that's more reasonable.
For okay, life. but what does that mean? Meaning, again, a year later, I say, okay, now I don't want you to put your beans on my wall anymore. The time's off. I let you for a while, now I change my mind. And you say, nope, I have the right to keep my beans here forever. You win, according to the Rambam and the Gaonim. Why do you win? Why do you have the right to keep the beans there forever? So I was mochel. When is I mochel? How do you get an eternal right? Because I was mochel.
From the Talmud.
If I'm mochel that you can drive my car whenever you want, first of all, here is Tarka. Okay, radio is Tuflin. That's not most people. If I say I'm mochel, you can drive my car whenever you want. Then, and you drive my car, you don't have the right to drive my car whenever I want. I have to be machna to you, a shukas in the car or something. Lemaisa, I think you can take the rashba in two ways. You see how, basically, all the acronym, they hate this rashba. Rav Chana says it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit our conceptual halachic scheme of what hakna is or what mechila is. Mechila just means you don't have to pay me back something. And it's very cute that the Rashi says, oh, I'm just telling you, you don't have to remove your beam. But I'm really telling you, you have a right to keep your beam there forever. Right? If I say, you don't have to stop driving my car forever. That still doesn't mean mechila works. You don't have to ever not... You know, I say, you don't have to ever not take food from my fridge. You don't have to ever refrain from taking food from my fridge. That's still not a mechila. I need a hakna to do that. Even then it wouldn't work. Okay, so I think there are two ways. One way is just to say all the achronim's assumption that mechila is wrong. They all assume mechila cannot create a kinyan. Maybe mechila can create a kinyan. We all know that I can't say I'm mochel my car to you, I'm mochel my... wallet to you, I'm mochel my cell phone to you, I can't even mochel my pen to you. So maybe mechila really can create a kinyan. So what's the difference between mechila? Why does mechila work sometimes and other times? Maybe mechila can create a kinyan, but only if someone's already holding something. This is the big question. If, let's say there's a pikadon, right? Let's say I say, you ask, can you borrow my pen? I say, sure, borrow my pen. And it's like, I'm mochel, keep it. Does that mechila work or not? Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. You could just say I'm doing Kenya and Hagba or something. But does mechila work for a pikadon? Does mechila work for a pikadon? So the mainstream opinion is no. Mechila cannot be machna someone something they don't own. But maybe mechila does work. Maybe mechila is a Kenyan. When someone's already mochsik in something, when someone's already holding something, then maybe mechila works for you. This is a hiddush. It's not the mainstream there. That's why Yachronim did not even bring themselves a possibility. But maybe he says, the question is, from Muhammad's question on him, mechila cannot be machned. I think they have two options with the Rashba. One is mechila can be machned if the kone is already holding it. Meaning, if I give you my pen even to watch, even to shomer chinam, if you're already holding my pen, I can be mochel it. Again, that's not the mainstream halachic opinion, but maybe the raspier holds, and maybe all the other yishonim here hold for all we know, although it would be funny, because that's not the mainstream halachic opinion. Maybe the Rashba holds that mechila does work as a kinyan. Mechila is machna things, as long as you're already holding them. Once you're already holding something, mechila works. Again, practically often, if you're holding something, I could just do a kinyan chatzar because you're holding it. But I'm saying, yeah, not mitzad, kinyan chatzar, kinyan yani, kinyan haqba, etc. Maybe mechila is machna things if you're holding them. And that's why we think of mechila as for giving a loan. If you're already holding the money, you don't have to give it back to me. Basically, if you're already holding my pen, you don't have to give it back to me.
maybe Mechila does work to make Aknah, and then you have to add one thing. As the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef here says, he's not trying to pass it. So what do you say? I'm Motzer Velav Araya. Right? Whoever's holding it keeps it. Whoever's Motzer keeps it. Who's Machzik? Am I Machzik? That's my wall? Or are you Machzik because your beam's there? It says, your beam's already there. You're Machzik. Meaning, you're already holding this right. I know you can't hold it in your hand. It's not a physical thing to hold your hand. It's an abstract easement. You're already, by putting your beams there, you're already holding that right. Therefore, I can be mochan, I can transfer, I can be makne you a shiva karka, because as the Rashi says, I'm mochel shlo yisalik misham. I'm mochel that you don't have to remove it. And therefore, since you're already mochel, mechila can create a kinyan. You now have a kinyan in my wall. You have a right in my wall because you're already holding on to it. That's a chiddush. That's not the mainstream daya halacha l'maisa. If I was mochel my pen to Yoni, I took it back because we possibly that the was out of it. Okay, I appreciate that. Right? Because maybe you can say Kimley. Okay, you're the best to get out of the house. If I was a real brisker, I'd get back to you because I would say maybe embarrassed because I'm the rebbe. You can never ask to get back to me. But I'm not such a brisker. I'm keeping my pen. Okay, this is a big chiddush. I mean, you're gonna have to say a big chiddush either way for the Rashi. Mechila really is a hakna. Mechila can be machna something, not just telling you not to pay me back. Okay.
It can make the difference. There's really a difference. I'm letting you put it there, or you can keep it there. Before you put it there, you say, okay, you can put it there, but you don't mean you really can keep it there all the time. For now. But if you say you can keep it there, that implies a longer.
Okay, but again, I'm not dealing with what it implies psychologically. We're not talking about the umbra. We're not asking, do I really mean you can keep it there forever? Tanakh, I mean you can keep it there forever. But how about halachically, to get something forever, you need a kinyan, not a mechila. Again, if I were to say you can drive my car forever and I'm mocha b'lev shalim, even if I really mean it, it's not halachically chal. If I can say you can have this pen and I'm mocha to you forever, it's not halachically chal. What makes it halachically chal? So either you have to say, what makes it halachically chal can't be mechila. It's really kinyan chadach. Goes out the Rashba says, like he says, I'm mocha yom kisalikit. Or you have to make a chiddush that mechila can actually be makne you a right that you didn't get home. Or maybe you could say, and this is a bit of a chiddush. Maybe you could say, if you go back to, okay, I know this is a chiddush, go back to a concept that we mentioned at the very beginning of the year that I've come back to a few times, called like Hilchos Shechinim. Right? What do I mean by? Hilchos Shechinim? Naturally, Shechinim have a certain relationship and rights on one another. Shechinim naturally have rights and shibudim on each other. That's part of being a Shechinim. That's part of Hilchos Shechinim. And perhaps you can go so far as to say, now I know, like So says this in the easier context that we'll mention in a moment, but perhaps you could go, bless you, so far as to say that if I let you, if I don't mind your, let's say I'm not being stolen. I don't mind. I know if I'm holding the stone. That's going a little far. But as part of our neighborly relations, I don't mind letting you benefit from my property a little. I don't mind letting you benefit from my property a little. Right? It could be that we naturally have a certain set of rights against one another. We naturally have we naturally have the right to benefit from one another. As long as the other fellow doesn't mind, I naturally have the right to benefit from my neighbor in the normal way of neighborly relations if he doesn't mind. I mean, you naturally have the right to benefit from me if I don't mind. It could be that once I'm mochel that I don't mind, I don't object. Oh, what gives you the right? That was our question. I don't object, I'm mochel. Well, what makes you acquire this zechus? So it's also Tzitzit says, maybe mechila may require a zechus. Or maybe you naturally have a zechus. Everyone naturally has a zechus to benefit from their neighbors. Everyone naturally has a zechus that neighbors help each other out. As long as they don't mind. As long as neighbors don't object to me of one another. Maybe once I'm mochel and you have a salik,
you naturally have that zechus, not because I was makir that zechus, because every neighbor has a zechus to benefit from his neighbor. Whenever we have land next to each other, we all have zechuyos. We have a whole framework of zechuyos on each other's land. We have zechuyos that you won't stare at me, that you'll build the wall, that you won't do this, that you will do that, etc. We naturally have zechuyos on each other's land. As long as, you know, but which zechuyos do we have? Okay, that depends what we object to, what we don't object to, what deals we work out within ourselves. But maybe you could say, I know this is a big fetish, but maybe you could say that that we naturally have a shochin. Let me say this better. Shochinim naturally have shibudim on one another. I don't need to create that shibud. Naturally, if we're neighbors, we have neighborly relations, we help each other out. Oh, what is helping each other out? Does that mean that you can put your beams on my wall? Maybe the answer is, of course neighbors put their beams on each other's walls. That's what neighbors are for. If I object, I have the right to object. But once I'm mocha my right to object, we naturally have the right to be good neighbors. I have the right to object. I'm mocha, naturally should put in one another. I have the right to object to your whatever it be, to your shimush. But if I don't object, if I'm mokel my objection, then the zechus shimush is memeila. Okay, this I admit is a big fish. But if you want to take the lashon of the Rashba literally, maybe you just have to go, I admit it's a big fish, and say, what right do I have to keep my beams there forever? The answer is I naturally have the right to keep the beams forever. Neighbors should let each other put their beams on their walls. This is a normal thing that people let each other do. When two Jews live next to each other, they naturally have the right. I don't fully own my land, you fully own your land. When we're neighbors, naturally I have certain rights in you, you have certain rights in me. That comes from Hilchos Shechina. You can object to certain things, but it's a right to object. Naturally, I can put my beams on your wall. You merely have the right to object. We just change the default. I always have the right to put beams on your wall. You have the right to object. That's not in the Sefer. Oh, so it must be wrong. You have the right to object. But is there anything good in the Sefer for the Rashba?
So that's why the Rambam brings this in Hilchos Shechina and not in Hilchos Mechira.
Correct. And that's, again, I'm not going to go too much on that because after all, it is about Shechinim, right? Remember what Chaim Soloveitchik taught us, that, you know, it's only a good deal why the Rambam brought it someplace. If you could have thought of a better place, you would have brought it. And, you know, maybe everything has to do with neighbors because in Hilchos Shechinim, not because any longer, just because it has to do with neighbors. But again, what I'm claiming is a big chiddush. Maybe you naturally have the right. Maybe you naturally have the right to use each other's walls. You automatically have the right to use each other's walls. That's part of neighborly relations. Just since there's neighborly relations, but there's also respecting everyone's privacy and everyone's integrity, I have the right to object. What's a mokel the right to object? I don't need to give you the cheskes tashmishim. You naturally have it as long as I withdraw my objection. Some things you naturally have as long as I withdraw my objection. Therefore, once I withdrew my objection, you naturally have the right to put your beams in my walls. That's what I'm trying to be a Kaddish for the Rashba.
Is this going to go if someone sold his property? Would the Mechila over automatically the person?
Yes, he would sell with it. It would continue even after he sold his property.
Because of like this, where it's not just that you're using another person's wall, but then infringing upon their property. How would you say this? This only really works if the wall is exactly at the borderline.
I naturally have the right to put my ledge over. I'm putting my ledge, 20 feet up in the middle of your. It doesn't bother anyone, right?
Maybe. No.
What?
Meaning, like, got off the building.
Okay, so hold that thought for a second. So, I think, yeah.
Is there any assuming through this that Hana itself is not like a commodity? Because that would be very difficult for the whole Bobakam Zanen and Zalabaska studio, because here we're talking about, but he's basically saying everyone has a right for free Hana from everyone else, as long, and then getting to me.
No, everyone's the right. Everyone has the right to free hunt off from their neighbors. What's chasser? Where's the chasser? I bring you in your wall. What do you mean?
The assumption the whole Zen ends up a chasser figure also is that that's all. Yeah, that with Achila, no one could just go.
I know, because that's not about neighborly relations. That's talking about I go into your apartment without permission.
So you think that guy's not your neighbor in Belakon. That guy could be your next door neighbor.
First of all, Mustama, the odds are he's not, but also I don't care. I mean, it has nothing to do with our neighborly relations, and I go and I live in your apartment without permission. That's clearly not part of me. Neighbors get along, yes. We use the walls. I don't know.
Rebbe's barn is that we're not midas stom, and I naturally have the right to get, and I naturally may carlos.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying midas stom. I'm taking back the phrase midas stom because I don't think this midas stom. This all caused some culture who perhaps bad side effects my neighbor. But neighborly relations that even if midas, neighborly relations more than midas stom. Native nations more than Estonians. If we live next to each other, then we have the right to benefit from each other in reasonable ways that neighbors benefit from one another. We have the right to help for each other if we live next to each other. Right? I almost go so far as to say, let's look at this.
Does that mean borrowing eggs?
Let us say that we move to Albany and buy houses next door to each other. Need to borrow an egg. If you have no eggs, you have no eggs. If you have one egg and you need it for recipe container, obviously. You have a dozen eggs in your house. I need to borrow an egg. And you say, no, I'd rather not lend you an egg. Everyone knows you are a bad person and a bad neighbor. I'm not saying in kosher mishpah, but we all know that you have somehow betrayed our relationship by not giving me an egg. Now, I'm not claiming that goes to kosher mishpah. Why? Because in kosher mishpah, the relationship, you know, what I'm claiming in Choshen Mishpat is only things that actually have to do with the physical border between us, not things that have to do with eggs and traps and et cetera. At a certain point, things become too abstract that England are so. What I'm claiming is just like everyone knows in sociology that you have betrayed our relationship, and that basically if we're neighbors, I have the right to borrow an egg from you, sociologically. Sociologically, I have the right to borrow an egg from you. You are somehow not fulfilling your duties if you don't lend me the egg. I'm not saying it's too your business, but what I'm saying is that becomes very abstract. But take something more concrete. Here's my house, here's your house, here's the border between us. What can we do over that border? What are we not allowed to do? What are we allowed to do? What do we have to do? Right? Maybe we have to build a degree, et cetera. But I'm claiming that because we are neighbors, therefore, we naturally impinge upon each other's ownership, and we naturally have the right to help for one another in various ways, to build a wall to prevent Ezra, to not do certain things, to do certain things, etc. We naturally have the right to certain things. However, sometimes, some rights, because we're neighbors, I can make you pay for half a wall to prevent Ezra, whether you like it or not. And some things, but you have the right to object. You have the right to say, you know what? This, I have my personal reasons here and respect my personal reasons. So I'm saying, naturally, just like you have to give me an egg, sociologically, halachically, on social mishpat, I have the right to help from you. I have the right to put my beans in your wall. I have the right to put my beans in your wall. Even if it's not me that's stone, because it's helping me 1 million and maybe it's hurting you one. So it's not me the stone, but still for neighbors. However, since everyone always has their personal reasons, you have the right to object. And what I'm saying is when you are mochel your right to object, when you're mochel your objection, then I naturally have the right to help from you as a neighbor. Just like I sociologically have the right to borrow an egg. But that's not part of Choshen Mishpat, because it's not actually a concrete thing on the border between us. But whenever that egg is a concrete part of the border between us, it moves from sociology to halacha, and I naturally have a right. You just have to be mostly your objection. Okay, it's a chish.
The ones who are saying, why then should the guy's deem it is not paper at the wall? Meaning at the point of
like saying that like this is like about like some joint agreement between them and whatnot. So before this, the law was just on one guy's property, no, no, no. Shine on the other guy. Now,
we're not talking about our mission now, right?
Why does that pay for half the wall? Because you built the whole wall on your property and you want to own half the wall.
Right, that's what I'm currently shot. I'm the other person.
No, the wall's on your property. It's not like the wall of our mission, et cetera. The wall's on your property. Why should you sell me half of your wall?
It's on the other person's property, not enough, like enough to say that the other person shouldn't have to pay for half it if they don't use it, but not enough on the other person's property that they
have. It's not on my property at all, but it's bordering my property, and therefore neighbors have the right to help across that borderline.
I don't see why you should have to pay for half your wall. You built the wall normally.
I was asking a little bit facetiously. I mean, it's just like at what point do we say like you're like this is both of your wall? Like
it's not both my wall. It's your wall. I just have an easement on it. It's your wall. What I'm saying is because we're neighbors, I have rights in your property, and you have rights in my property. That's foolish.
And that's DACA, meaning, so like, let's say the person three houses over wants to build a bridge over the entire property. What's the specific relevance of the fact that they have a border? Like, if the wall's not literally being built between them on the border, and it just happens to be in there, why does the fact that I live next to him give me, like, meaning what?
Because is there? that's part of how neighbors deal with the borderline between them, is that they put beams over it. And they let the water drain through it, and they do this and they do that. There are certain things which neighbors view the borders as porous for.
That seems like more of a umda type of thing.
And that's the chiddush, that it seems like just an umda type of thing that a person might want to do that, but then you have to ask what mechanism did he use.
But I'm saying, how luckily does it need a mechanism? It's a natural halakhic, not just an umda. There's a helpless thing.
What would be
the source of the thing? That people who live next to each other. Have responsibilities towards one another. And usually when the Kiddush, they have responsibility towards one another, it means not to be masochistic. That's easier, to build a wall between us. Here, it's a bigger Kiddush. I have responsibility to help you. If you live next to me, you naturally have responsibility to help me put my beams on your wall.
Unless you object. Once you withdraw your objection, that's part of your natural responsibility.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to agree with it. Now, let me just point out that, okay, you don't agree with the two other possibilities. You could say the Ksos and the Sivas, and if you want, you could say that's what the Rashba meant, it's a little tricky. Or you could say that the Rashba really held that he was a Haknah, al Tanai that you're Mosak, and he held like the Mukha Yosef that you're Mosak, that you're Mosak. Let me just point out that it could be very well
that there are, we know there are possibly Tzvei here. What I'm pointing out is this Chiddush that Mechila really, really works. Right, this Kiddush that Mechila really works, and it's specifically that Mechila really works because you naturally have that right. That is maybe a lot easier if you want to say Tzvei Dinim. It applies to some cases and not other cases. Where do we see Tzvei Dinim?
We see it, and this is what all the Mepharshim point out, in the Ramah, right? Because there's a funny set of Ramahs. What does the Ramah say? How are we Mechriah? The Ramah is Mechriah in Siman Kof Nun Gimel. When it comes to the Koros, the Kshuri, and the Hordi, and the Kshuri, the Metalalta, etc., what does he say? Uvechez gasula muneitzas Koros, basically me putting my ladder in your land to get up to my roof, or me putting my Koros in your wall. Yeish shom devinen cheskes gimel shanim v'tayna. Yeish cholkem b'cholkes akazel. And some people say you don't need gimel shanim v'tayna. Right? The Ramah brings down these two shitas. Yeish shomrim.
You don't.
Okay, there's no hachra. There's no hachra. In Siman Kof Nun Hey, kol archoko sha'amru, all meaning marchik, things that would damage your land. And lo hirkik v'rach avir v'shosak, if I did damage your land, then like I let my water drain onto your land, for example, Shafki Benafi, then the guy was Mochel, and he can't say, now you have to stop, or I put my tree near your land, etc. We should run Manisha Machel, as long as you see it was Mochel. And this after Ramah, Hagav, Ayn Le El, Simen Kofnan Dal, Simen Yaveh, Ken Roy Lahoros, Afgav, Yish Omer, Bina Chazaka, Shol Shana, Metaina, King Roy Lahoros, this is how we should pass him, even though there's a Yish Omerim otherwise. Here's a little funny. It's a Stira in Ramah. Everyone asks this Stira in the Rama, right? This is the famous Stira in the Right? How come the Rama in, where was the first one? Kof Nun Gimel and Kof Nun Hey. The Rama in Kof Nun Gimel is all within the Rama. Sam's Yeshua Yeshomrim, but the Rama Sim and Kof Nun Hey said very clearly, you don't need a Taina, it's Chazaka Ba'alter, even though Yeshomrim otherwise this is how we should pass it. Happened to be sure how to pass it in Kof Nun Hey, but he wasn't sure how to pass it in Kof Nun Gimel. And this, of course, bothered everyone. This, of course, bothered everyone, and we'll just, everyone answered. I really think everyone really means the same thing in different words, but what did the Nesiva say to answer this? The Nesiva says there's really tzvei din in here. There's Cheskas Tashmishin, and there's Cheskas Nezakin. Cheskas Tashmishin means I'm actually using your land, like I'm putting my ladder in your land, or I am putting my beams on your wall, etc. Cheskas Nezakin means I'm not using your land, but just something I do in my land is mazik your land, right? Like, for example, l'chor I drain my rainwater onto your land, or I put my tree whose roots are going to grow and break the cisterns in your land, or Beis Din and Beis Din Misafik. If you're talking about Cheskas Tashmishin, then maybe you need a Taina. But if you're talking about Cheskas Nezakin, then no. And it's our Taina. What pshat in the Rama? L'chorif pshat in the Rama is very posh. Again, it's so simple, slightly different, with different words. Even the Smasid in the world, L'chor, Shana the Rama is very poshut. Is that the Rama thinks we're actually dealing with Mechila. Right? The Rama thinks we're actually dealing with Mechila, not like the Exosimus. Oh, funny here, the Sivas. But this Rama works better, not like the Exosimus. What is the Svara? The Svara is very poshut. If you're going to say that Mechila is because I naturally have the right to do this, as long as you don't object, then it's as you can fight with me. Say I naturally have the right to use your property, to put my ladder in your guard, to put my beams on your wall unless you object, that's a chiddush, right? That's a narcissist craziness. Really, I naturally have the right to use your property unless you object, that's a chiddush. To say I naturally have the right to do something in my property that damages your property unless you object, I don't naturally have the right to damage the property because I am right. If Morty says you can dent my car whenever you want, that's not how, right? Because I don't naturally have the right to dent his car. But say I naturally have the right to do things on my property that end up damaging your property unless you object. That's very reasonable. You don't need any big condition for that. Of course, you can see one way or the other. I naturally have the right to live in my house. I naturally like to put whatever kind of roof I want. All the water goes onto your property. I naturally have the right, unless you object. Within Hamashchein, you can object. If you don't object, I naturally have the right to live my life even if it causes some damage to your property. That's not so crazy, right? So I think that makes a lot of sense. What's the svara? The svara is that when it comes to Cheskas Tashmishin, I don't naturally have the right to use your property. But when it comes to Cheskas Nezikin, then say no. You don't have to say this. You can say, I naturally have the right to use my property, even if it has an effect on you. Oh, we know you don't have that right. No, unless you object. Right, within the Ma'arechet of Shechinim, within the framework of Shechinim, if I'm using your property, then I don't actually have that right. That Volkeri Sfar was crazy. You need a taina. You need to buy it with a contract, with Ketzav, with the King and Sud or something else. But if you're talking about the fact that I'm building a roof in my house and happen to drain onto your house, I am planting trees in my house and the roots might happen to damage your house. I am putting a ladder in my house and the animal might climb up the ladder and kill the birds in your house. Okay, I don't want my house. You have the right to object within a public state. But if you don't object, I naturally have the right to sell my property. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Again, if you take the approach of the Rashba, you could also alternatively say the other Sfarah. That say that in terms of, I guess it's really coming down to the same thing. You can invoke on your right to object to me. Or what can you say? You can say, when I'm putting my beams on your wall, I'm not already mosuk in your wall. I'm not holding onto your wall. My beams are there, but I'm not holding onto your wall. But when I put gutters in my house that rain into your house, I'm already mosuk in that. If you want to take that approach, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's very possible with the Sfar of the Rambam is. The Sfar of the Rambam is that who naturally has this right? I naturally, just, you know, and here Ozzy will agree, I naturally have the right to do things in my house even if they hurt you. Unless you object. I don't naturally have the right to use your property unless you object. You have to give me the right to use your property.
You have to say that you have a right to damage somebody else's property as opposed to saying you have a right to live in your
property. I have the right to live and not worry about the fact that it damages your property.
Meaning, does it have to be like unless the other person objects, or like until, I mean, why not flip it and say until the other person is mobile, I don't have the right to do it?
Here, just then you want to play normal.
You have not. Sure.
He's saying the same thing conceptually. He's right to do
it unless he objects. Yeah, I mean, does he get the home and then okay. If he collects that home, right? If not, then
no. No, because normally it only works when I was already damaging, not for damaging in the future, right? If you say crack susa, you can always be hoser. Right? That's not so posh. And this, to make a fundamental distinction in Cheskel, speech and Cheskel, and the Zakim would also answer a famous theorem of the Rambam. What is the famous theorem of the Rambam? Right? What do we want to say? We want to say there's a fundamental difference, fundamental tzvedinim between Cheskel Tashmishim and Cheskel Mezakim. What do we want to say? Cheskel Tashmishim. Cheskel Tashmishim is, that's a kinyan. That's a hachnah. Cheskas Nizakin, that's a mechila. And where do we see this come across in two places? Number one, what's the proofs? Say maybe they're two different things. Number one, it's Rabba. Cheskas Kashmishin. Ulai Tzarech Taina. Taina meaning Taknoa. But Cheskas Nizakin, ain't no Tzarech Taina. You could also say, even within not needing a taina, there might be tzvedina. Why? Because of the funny Rambam. What's the steer in the Rambam? The Knesset Gedolah is very bothered by the steer in the Rambam. I didn't bring the Rambam. I brought the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch steer in the Rambam says the Shulchan Aruch, not the Rambam. Here we're in the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Kofnan Gimel. Again, Kofnan Gimel versus Kofnan Hey. Kofnan Gimel. If he put the Korah, etc., who she Avi Raya Sheruvin Tziyimo Rav Lo Micha. If I want a Cheskas Tashmishin, if I want a Chazaka, that I can keep my beams on your, wall, I need to prove either that you helped me put the beam on your wall, so you're local, or at the very least, that you saw and you didn't object. I mean, what is the Machlokes of Metzias? I say, within the Rambam and the Gaonim, I say you were local, so you saw and didn't object. And what do you say back? You say, I never noticed. I never saw it. Do I need to prove you saw it? Or you say, I objected. Do I need to prove you saw it? Let's say saw it. I say, you saw it and you were mochel. You say you never noticed it. Who needs to prove it? So says the Shulchan Aruch Kofnan Gemel, which is the Rambam. He says, I have to prove you saw it. But in Kuftun Hey, the Rambam says, Al Nizlov Yuraim, Lohe Bisho, and Mazakas Vyifter. No!
The owner of the field has to bring a raya. Yeah, he didn't see it. So who has the burden of proof? Says the Rambam of Shulchan Aruch very, very, very clearly. Says the Rambam and the Mechaber. He says either way. He says, Kan Vekad, Eino Tzarkaino. Either way, you don't need a taina. Either way, you don't need a taina. But even though either way, you don't need a taina, when it comes to the Chezkas Kashmishin, then, when it comes to Chezkas Kashmishin, then we assume there's no Chazaka unless you prove that he saw it. When it comes to Chezkas Nezakin, then we assume there is chazaka, unless he proves that he didn't see it. What's the nature of this chiluk? So in the Knesset HaGadola, which I put in the brackets here, he tries to say, it's really not the shmishin and the zaken. It's really just, we're comparing one case where it's something people are likely to see and one case where it's something where people are unlikely to see. If you're talking about putting the beam, you know what? It's unlikely to notice that here it gets a little tricky. He said, we're only talking about cementing the beam, which makes the outer. It's unlikely he noticed you cemented the beam. Therefore, you need to prove that he noticed. But if we're talking about, you made your drainage onto my yard, or you put over your window onto my yard, etc. Then I probably noticed. Okay, so he says it's just a ding between noticeable things and not noticeable things. Noticeable things, but you assume you notice, don't prove it otherwise. Less noticeable things, small, big things we assume you noticed, they'll prove it otherwise. Small things assume you didn't notice, they'll prove it otherwise. But the Nesiva says not. The Nesiva says no, it's a difference between, it's not a technical difference. Meaning, in short with halalta for 30 days, we also assume you noticed, they'll prove it otherwise. It's only in chibra batina we assume you didn't notice, they'll prove it otherwise, because you don't always notice a little cement. But the Nesiva says, no, it is, even the Nesivas, right? These are both explanations of Nesivas, right? Although I think everyone else is saying this in different ways. The Nesiva says that. Stalchuk, he says, clearly it's a different thing, Kofman Gimel and Kofman Hay. It's a pattern, right? It's a pattern. The Mechaber also says, Beidinim. Just he doesn't think it's enough meaning. He thinks either way, you're Kona without a kind of an altar. But still, in what way do you call without the time of an altar? When it comes to Cheskes Tashmishim, you actually need a hafnah. You don't have a natural right. It's the same vart, right? What do I mean by this? You actually need a hafnah. You have to prove that you were Kona. You weren't Kona to prove it otherwise. But in Cheskes Zaken, I naturally have the right to live my life even though it bothers you, unless you object. Since I naturally have the right to live my life unless you object, I'm Mosa, you're a Mosa with our override. You have to prove that you objected and took away my natural right. So I think both these are saying the same thing. What I'm saying is that here, it is a hakna. You need to acquire the right. If you need to acquire the right, then according to the Rambam, maybe you need an actual kenyan. And according to the Chaver, you don't need a kenyan. You can acquire the right without a kenyan, but you need to prove that you acquired it. And here, that's that you naturally have the right. All you have to do is release his objection. If you naturally have the right, then for the Ramah, if you naturally have the right, then you don't need any taina. You can say you didn't object. I naturally have this right. And for the Mechaber, either way, you don't need a taina. But it still works in two different ways. In one way, you don't need a taina because your Mechila gives me the right I didn't have. But Cheskin Zuck and your Mechila didn't give me a right I didn't have. Your Mechila lets me have a right that's naturally mine. Lets me keep a right that's naturally mine. And therefore, Misapek, I am Mochzak on Chesnes Zikin. I am not certain. I can be massive you. Yeah, I can be massive you ahead. I can live my life even though it's massive you until proven otherwise. I know you're right to object, but you have to prove that you objected. Well, because discussion, I don't have a right to use your property until proven otherwise. So I think here we see a very clear conflict in Cheskas Tashmishin and Cheskas Nizakin in terms of this. I'll just end. There's one other Tzvei here, which is the sheet of the Raivid in Dachnum Tesnes and in Perkei Alacha. Hey, he says, even within Cheskas Tashmishin, there's two different kinds of Cheskas Tashmishin. Maybe that'll make Azim feel a little better based on what he said. Otherwise, right, what are we saying to Tzvei Dinim? There could be Tzvei Dinim. And again, I think basically, I can't swear on a Sefer Torah, but I think what we're saying is Tzvei Dinim is not going with Tzos and Nesivos. If the Tzos and Nesivos were right, it was really a Kenyan Chazaka. But a Kenyan Chazaka should work. A Kenyan Chazaka should work across the board. You should say it only works in this case, not other cases. Kenyan Chazaka is a very powerful Kenyan. But if you say it's really a Mechila, then I understand. A Mechila, it's a big Kiddush state that Mechila works. As a matter of fact, Dazi never believed me that a Mechila works. It's such a big Kiddush. So if we finish, maybe it's enough saying that Mechila works for Cheskas Nizakin, where I'm really not using your property, I'm just affecting your property. Then I'm just doing what I have the right to do unless you object. Because Tashmisha might be going too far. What if the Raivid say? The Raivid says there's two different kinds of Cheskas. There's two different kinds of Cheskas Tashmisha. There's a Shimush that doesn't prevent you from using your property, and a Shimush that prevents you from using your property. And again, this Tzvei Dinim could be psychological, maybe, for the Raivid. But what does the Raivid say? The Raivid in the Shita Mekubetzes, Daf Nun Tes Amad Aleph, and in Hilchos Shcheinim, Perek Hey, Halacha Hey. What does he say? He says there's a Shimush. Right, what's his lashon? I don't know if I wrote his lashon here. But there's a shimush that prevents you from using your property, and a shimush that doesn't prevent you from using your property. Like, for example, if I put my beams on your wall, it doesn't stop you from using your property. Right, you have the same exact use of the wall, whether my beams are there or whether my beams are not there. What does he say? Kol chazaka she'inu atayne imonim milivnos tov shalomim. Bavatayna ve'imonim milivnos kenegdo. A shimush ena moneya shimush kabaylim. You don't need a taina. It happens in 30 days because history to the 30 days of default. In 30 days for most cases or right away without a taina. That's mechila. But a shimush shemoneya shimush kabaylim that requires a taina and 3 years. Right, Yosef says Tzvei Dinim. He said, look, there's two kinds of cheskas tashmishin. There's cheskas tashmishin that I can use your property and it doesn't bother you. But it doesn't bother you, it could bother you, but it doesn't stop you from doing anything. I could use your property and you could also use your property. I could use your property while you use your property. That's right away. Then there's a shimush that I could use your property and now you can't. Like, what's an example of that? If I open a window onto your property, now you can't build and block the light of my window. If I put a ledge over your property, now you can't build and block my use of that ledge. So what does the Raivid say? He says there's Tzvei Dinim. If I claim I bought it from you, I use it for 3 years and claim I bought it from you, then I even have the right to your property that prevents you from using your property. Why? Because I claim I bought it from you for good money. Right? But if it's just Mechila La'alter, just Mechila La'alter, again, maybe 30 days La'alter, maybe right away. He thinks usually 30 days, but in very objectionable cases, very noticeable cases right away. If it's just Mechila La'alter, yes, I have the right to use your property. But I don't have the right to stop you from using your property. So just a classic example. If I build a ledge over your chatzer, if three years pass by and I claim I bought it from you and we signed a document, I just lost it, then, if there are 3 years with a taina, I can keep that ledge, and now you can't build anything that blocks my use of the ledge. But if I just said, look, you saw the ledge for a few days and you didn't say anything, then I have the right to keep the ledge. But if you want to build a building there and block my ledge and take it away from me, because I can't stop you from using your property. So what's the nature of this Tzvei Dinim? you could say this Sveidinim is based on psychology. After all, you know, if I just didn't object, I'd probably let you do what you're doing, but I wouldn't want to give up my future building plans. But if the 3 years, if I didn't object, you have a taika, then maybe we even believe, now stop, we don't believe I'd give up my future building plans. That's not what you claim I did, then we believe you. Or it could be, no, it could be that if one needs a kinyan, and one needs a kinyan, and one doesn't. Right, maybe what he's saying is that over here, this needs real haknah. No, for me to have a right to use your property and then you can't use your property, that needs real haknah. That needs real haknah. That's actually acquiring half your property. But use your property, and you can also use your property. To use your property, that I can use your property, but you can also use your property. I'm not stopping you from doing anything in your property. Right? That maybe, I mean, that's when you have the right. And just people you control of your objection is good enough. So it could be that, yes, Ozzy's saying that we're going a little far by saying that I naturally have, I naturally own everyone else's property. Well, communist, unless you object. I said, okay, but maybe you could say it not always, but sometimes, maybe according to Ramah. And the Mechaber and the Rambam one has a deal, but I naturally have the right to use my property and cause damage to your property indirectly, unless you object. That's not reasonable. Maybe you have the right of it. Depends how I'm using your property. If I'm using your property in a way that you're also using your property, maybe I do naturally have the right to neighborly relations to help the neighbors out, unless you object. But if I'm using a property in a way that now you can't use your property anymore, no, obviously no one has that. If you sell it to me, you sell it to me. But unless you try to prove that you sold it to me, I don't have a right anymore. Okay, so that's, I think, all I had to say about Taina. Let's just review. We had many of you show them say you need a Taina, meaning there is no implicit mechila. Why not? Either they think just umdina that no one would implicitly be mochel, or because of what bothers all the Rishonim or the Achronim, because mechila just doesn't work to be machna you as a chos and a karka that you didn't own yet. And then we had Rishonim who say that. That implicit mechil is good enough. The owner and the Ramba, maybe the Riff and the Rock, there's some Masorah, most of the Rishonim Sfarad say that. You know, basically all the Rishonim Sfarad, except for Ben Yonah and Riffa, say that. Why? You know, so there's an Omdina that you really let me do it forever. Reasonable enough. But how does it work? So either, so it's a say, it looks like Mechila, but it's really a Kinyan Chazaka in disguise. It's really a regular Kinyan Chazaka. Oh, where's the Kinyan Chazaka? There's no new parts. Achilas Piros. Oh, we pass get Achilas Piros, not Kinyan Chazaka. No, Kinyan Chazaka is proportionate, is situational. Achilas Piros is not a Kinyan Chazaka for Bailos, but it is a Kinyan Chazaka for Shimush, for Zuchos Shimush. Or you could say literally Mechila, which certainly what the Rashba sounds like. It either be Mechais that Mechila can create a Kinyan if you're already holding something and you're considered to be already holding it. Or say that maybe you have natural rights to help from your neighbor, unless he objects, which is a big chiddush. Now we see that maybe it's Tzveidinim. The Raivan says, if it prevents me from using my property, you need a full sale, a full mechira taina. If it doesn't prevent me from using my property, implicit mechila is good enough, which can either be a difference in umdana or a difference in din. To prevent me from using my property, I'll naturally have the right. If it doesn't hurt me using my property, you do naturally have this right. And then the Ramah said, Misafik, Cheskas Hashmishin, you might need a Kenyan, but Cheskas Hazakin, you don't. And that, the Chor was not an Umdana, that was very posh to explain. Because Cheskas Hashmishin, you don't naturally have the right. That was Ben Rosh's Kiddush. You don't naturally have the right to use my wall or my ground or my airspace or whatever without permission. You know, but you do naturally have the right to do things that affect me without permission. Also, why should I object? Then Hashmishin, I can object. That's a right to object. You naturally have the right to do it. And then we also tie it into the Rambam in terms of who has the burden of proof. The Rambam and the Mechaber are very clear, not in terms of taina, but in terms of burden of proof. There's a difference between two cases. Noah says that there's no longish difference. The difference between things that are most people notice, things most people don't notice. And there's Siva says the longish difference between Tashmish and Zakin. In Tashmish, naturally you don't have the right until proven otherwise. In Ezekiel, naturally you do have the right until proven otherwise. Then we, okay. Now, yes, Ozzy, and then we need to finish up this discussion.
Just looking back at the
the Rashba.
Mm-hmm.
In the Rashba, he's talking about all these cases of Shibudin, where he says there is a does. So at the end, he says, "L'chein rami achilas peros, achim sh'achas ha-peros, rechaz ha-ra'ah ha-kulta wa-bosol fa-amos, yachim ha-lumof ma-sh'ein kim ru-shon."
Think of that. If you already pump my oranges without permission, I can be mochel. You don't give me back the oranges. But I can't be mochel that you own the land.
Seems to be that he's talking about the Kenyan here. It's not like
no, no, not at all. You have to look in the Shakuntari, the Gemara there, right? Say he has the other arbol. Maybe he's the only Shakuntari that Gemara there. Didn't you learn Cheskas in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of different parts of
the obviously, he's trying to anticipate that part of the Shakuntari. I don't remember exactly where he was. I think it's clearly referring to that line in the Gemara. Okay, let me just point out that what we didn't discuss yet is how about the Gimel Shanim? And we'll mention this briefly because really we'll get back to this in a couple of weeks. There's another machlokes. Do you need Gimel Shanim or do you not need Gimel Shanim? Why do you need Gimel Shanim? Why do you not need Gimel Shanim? Clearly, the mainstream opinion, the way the Ramah and others put it, is that the main opinions are. If you just look at who has more names, Tainim plus Gimel Shanim, or no Tainim Alter, those are the two main opinions. Right? That's right, or Masin Shulchan Aruch. Some people say you need a Taina and Gimel Shanim, and some people say you don't. Right? The in-betweens are Chashuv people. Here you have Rashi and Rashban, here you have Rivon and Rid. But they're the more minority shitas. Why would this be the majority shita? Because what's the point of Gimel Shanim? What's the maskana of the Gemara and Chav Testament Aleph? Anyone? Why is Gimel Shanim work for Cheskas Batim? Because that's when you make loser star. What's pshat? Pshat is that I am now in the field and I'm eating this field. I'm using this field. Mistamo, you believe me that I bought the field. Why would you let me use the field if I didn't buy it? But what's the problem? If I bought it, where's my shtar? No one buys karka without a shtar. Where's my shtar? So what do I claim? I claim I bought it and I lost my shtar, right? The dog ate my homework.
Nowadays they don't say the dog ate my homework, right? Nowadays they say my computer crashed.
It's suspicious that you don't have a shtar. What does the Gemara say? Ad Gimel Shanim is dar inis v'shtar. Right, what's the maskana? The Gemara from Chav Chesed al Chav Chesed al says, how does Chesed Gimel Shanim work? What is the maskana? The maskana is middle Chav Chesed Aleph. Ella Marava Shatika Maisa Ella. Ella generally means not anything we said until now. Shatika Maisa is dar inis v'shtar. Tarti plus mizdar tfei. Lo mizdaher. Okay, then I'll buy you some questions and he successfully parries them. The simple shot is that the reason for Gimel Shanim, the reason for the Shir Gimel Shanim is that people hold on to their shtar for 3 years. 3 years is how long people hold on to a shtar. 3 years is how long people hold on to a shtar. And therefore, within 3 years, of course I have to give you back your land because you say, if you bought it, where's your shtar? And if I say, I lost my shtar, we say, that's a lie. Give me a break. We've heard that one before. But after 3 years, I say, I lost my shtar. They say, yeah, after 3 years, people lose their shtar. I mean, you can't hold on to your shtar forever. Even in secular law, there are many things you have to hold on to for 3 years. And there's some things 3 years also. After 3 years, you don't have to hold on to them anymore. Therefore, what did the Yad Ramah say? For example, we put the Yad Ramah, says the Yad Ramah, of course you don't need 3 years, because if it's an implicit mechila without a taina, there's obviously no shtar. Without a taina, how can there be a shtar? Right? So without a taina, if there's no shtar, then obviously you don't need 3 years, because that's shy of putting that shtar. And so what would we say here? Let's just see if we can focus in. This is Micha, taina equals shtar, and shtar means you need a chazaka of Gimel Shanim. Right? What is the taina? Taina means I did a transaction. If I did a transaction, I wrote a shtar. And if I wrote a shtar, then we assume for 3 years I should be holding on to my shtar. Everyone keeps their shtar for at least 3 years. And therefore, I'm not nemo within 3 years, say I lost my shtar. But after 3 years, I'm nemo, say I lost my shtar. Okay, what will Rashi and the Rashban? Really, I said they bought this because it's
What Rashi and Rashbam say back, if there's a taina, then I have a star. How can I be believed for altar? Why can't the guy tell me, show me your star? So what are they going to say? Something very technical or something very fundamental? I think something very technical. What Rashi and Rashbam say is like, when you buy land, you write a star. When you just buy the right to put your koros, people don't write a star for that. It's not such a big deal. And then it might just be a machlokas in Umdana of Minaga Olam. What would they say? They would say that no. They would probably answer that people don't write a star on Shimosh B'Alma. On Shimosh B'Alma, you don't write a star. And since on Shimosh B'Alma, you don't write a star, I didn't have a time that I bought it from you. But if you say, if you bought it from me, where's your star? I said, I bought it from you, you didn't write a star. Who does a transaction without a star? People do transactions all the time without a star. Not buying and selling fields and houses. That would be ridiculous. You never met anyone who bought real estate without a star. That would be foolish. But yeah, if I just want to give you money so that you let me put my beans there, I'm not going to bother writing a star. It's not such a big deal. So it could be, I think, if you only need a taina, if the taina is the star, lechora, you need 3 years. Within 3 years, say, where's the star? And if the taina is without a star, then lechora, you don't need 3 years, because the whole point of 3 years is because within 3 years, you should have kept your star. And therefore, lechora, they're arguing whether you kept your star for 3 years or whether you did not keep your star for 3 years. Whether you would normally write a star or you don't. And then that might answer the steer on the Rashbam. There's a steer on the Rashbam. The Rashbam by us, if you assume that Josephus is Rashbam, says it's la'alter. And I think we should assume Josephus is the Rashbam. So Mem Aleph Amad Aleph, he explicitly says the Chazakah is la'alter and explicitly refers to Dabav. So the Rashbam himself and Mem Aleph commented on Dabav and said it's la'alter. So Mislam, he was also talking Dabav. But once you get to the Zayin and Cheslin test, the Rashbam always says you need 3 years for Shimash. Right, and Zayin and Cheslin test is straight, Zuchos Shimash. All right, just for example, in the Rashbam on the Sugya of the Chalon, right, remember the fellow opened the Chalon and he went in front of, who was it? He went to Rabbi Shmuel, who said it's a chazak, and Rabbi Chiya says no. And we pass like Rabbi Chiya. He said Rabbi Shmuel thought a chazak is right away and doesn't need 3 years like that. Weird in a prejudicial way, like that weird Tana of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Nachman Aleph says chazak doesn't really need 3 years, but we pass that chazak needs 3 years. That's why it wasn't good. So he says chazak opening window needs 3 years, and like he says in a few places in the sugya on likewise on Memchet Nun Chesam and Beis. I realize you might have to have the context to appreciate this. He says, the Marzev doesn't have chazaka, but the Makma Marzev does. The exact way in which your gutter drains, you don't have a chazaka, but the fact that you have a gutter that drains, you do have a chazaka. And he says, when? In 3 years. And likewise, in Zayin of an Aleph, when it's talking about Devarim Sheish Lem Chazaka and Devarim Sheim Lem Chazaka, he says, Tashmishen, when you say Nesatuli the Tashmish Deb Matana Machartli, if I say you gave or sold me the right to this very serious usage, Kavua usage, you need 3 years. So how can the Rashbam and the Nuns hold you need 3 years plus a taina? Taina is consistent. 3 years plus a taina. But in Dabav and Dabav Aleph, he says one day or right away plus a taina. So you could say he changed his mind at some point, but that would be a little dumb hook. The simple shot is he thought there are big usages and small usages. A Marzev, he thinks, is bigger. The, you know, putting stuff, putting your chickens and then opening your friend's house is obviously a big tashmish. A halal and opening the window and taking his privacy is a big thing. Just the shuri vahordi, that lechora is a smaller thing. And I think what he might just say is, unless someone has a better shot, is that on some things we assume you'd write a star, some things we assume you wouldn't write a star. Okay, so maybe that's why the Rashbam would say, really, you know, it's Seidina, but this is not like a longish Seidina. Why? Because either way, you need a taina, right? Either way, it's only chal if you claim to have bought it with a proper kinyan. The question is, do I need 3 years of silence to prove that or 1 year? So the Rashbam really would say, you know, it depends. Okay, the more interesting things, and this is, we will really, this will be our sort of intro to the third paragraph, even though we're not going to the third paragraph yet,
is how about the Ramah says? Says the Yad Ramah, he says very poshut. He says this is Nicha. There's obviously no star. I mean, there's no two ways about it. If you say there's not even Taina, obviously there's no star. If you say it was an implicit Mechila, there can't be a star on an implicit Mechila. That's a skew in your bed. Obviously there's no star. Obviously there's no star. Then there's no reason for Gimel Shana, because there's obviously no star. Now the question is, what are the Rebbeim and the Tosfos Rid thinking? Right, the Rebbeim and Tosfos Rid are in much bigger trouble, because Shana and the test of Aleph is that you need 3 years to explain why you lost your star. So again, if you say Chazak is a Chazak Shish Matayna, you can say there usually is a star, there usually isn't a star, and go both ways. Or some things people write a star, some things they don't. Okay, I can handle that. If you say that it's a few of that time now, obviously, the, all I say is you never objected. Clearly, no one ever wrote a star. If no one wrote a star, why do I need 3 years Chazaka? So I think you have no choice but to say the Rebbeim and the Rid are very, very fascinating. Now we open up the Rebbeim and the Rid as possible for everyone. Here you have to say a Chiddush in Perek Gimel, even though it sounds like the purpose of 3 years is just to explain why you lost your star. Ella Marava is Shat Gemais Mizdar in his Bishtari, Trey, Plas Mizdar, Tvei Lo Mizdahir. Really, that's not Pshat. Okay, how is really the Napshat? We'll have to see when we get the Shakari tomorrow. Say, really, 3 years is not to explain the star. Why is 3 years really not to explain the star? Okay, here we'll spoiler alert. Basic questions about Cheskin about them. If it's not to explain why you lost your star, what is it? Chiddush of Perek Gimel. Gimel Shanem is not about the star. It's not about the star. There's a different reason you need 3 years. What's the different reason you need 3 years, anyone? What's the different reason you need 3 years, not about the star?
People wouldn't even be laughing until then, anyways.
Maybe, which is exactly the happening before Rava. Maybe only 3 years of silence proves anything, because people who don't object for 1 or 2 years just didn't get around to it. But within 3 years, everyone would get around to objecting, right? So maybe the purpose of 3 years, maybe the purpose of 3 years is because 3 years is hodah. 1 or 2 years is not hodah. It's just he didn't get around to it. He was busy and he was distracted. Okay. Any other thoughts? Maybe that's from our focus. Meaning, and the Yad Ramah says, and the Rambam and the Gaon and everyone else says, why don't you need 3 years? I mean, there could be other reasons, but the Yad Ramah, he says, right? He says it very explicitly. He says, obviously, it's Shire. 3 years if there's no Shire, and the Rambam and the Tosfos say, what do you mean 3 years not to the Shire? I know what it sounds like. But if you read it, 3 years not Shire, 3 years is Shtika Noda. Shtika of 2 years is not Koda. Shtika of 3 years is Koda. Because for 1 or 2 years, people get distracted and people get, whatever the reason is, people have excuses. If I didn't say 3 years, then I'm really Moda. Okay, maybe it's another possibility also based on Hokhe Usha there. Right? What does that mean? Shermuad, if the shore goes three times, then we assume that's really the nature of the shore. Maybe it's just a matter of Chazaka. What does Chazaka mean? If something happens, we assume that's true. Right? Don't prove it otherwise. What does that mean? If the shore goes once, we still assume it's tame. Don't prove it otherwise. If it goes twice, we still assume it's tame. Don't prove it otherwise. If it goes three times, then we assume it's wild. Don't prove it otherwise. So maybe if you have something 1 year, we assume it's not yours. Don't prove it otherwise. 2 years, it's not yours. Don't prove it otherwise. 3 years, not like the top of the top. You're holding something once, we assume it's yours. That's the top. But for Tarka, maybe 3 years are just Chazaka, like Shermuad, right? Who's that called? Hoche? Usha, right? So it could be 3 years just be the Chazaka assumption. Whatever happens three times, we assume reflects the reality, right? If the ox scores three times, we assume it's inherently wild. If you use the land for 3 years, we assume it's inherently worse. But maybe it's just a matter of assumptions. Maybe it's a matter of Shtika Koda, psychology of Shtika, or maybe like the Gemara says about how long you hold on to your star. But obviously, they think Gimel Shanim is not about star. This is the best proof. The best proof is not in any of the sugyas of Gimel Shanim. The best proof that we're shown would think Gimel Shanim has nothing to do with star, even though it says anywhere that it does. is this Rambam and the Tosfos written not of Gimel Chai in the second paragraph, who say that Chezkas Tashlishin is implicit without any taina, you're just implicitly mokel, but only after 3 years. Okay, so why only after 3 years? It must be because it takes 3 years for your shtika to be meaningful. It takes 3 years for your shtika to be meaningful, or perhaps it takes 3 years for us to assume that there's a reason why you are using it. Okay, we did not get as far as I would have liked. We will, on Monday, Mirtz Hashem, we'll go, we'll continue on the base. I'm going to be a little bit Yotzi Migidri, I apologize. We are, I'm going to skip around a little before we go to the third parak. I really want to do the tzedakah sugyas before we go to the third parak. So I think in the next year, we're going to go on and daf on base. Maybe I'll give some extra mamar kolmos. And then we're going to spend a week, spend 2 weeks on some of the tzedakah sugyas in the first parak. There's a lot of fascinating sugyas in the first parak, but I think these are exceedingly fascinating. And then we'll make them go to the third parak. So that's our game plan, daf vavam beis next year, which would be Monday. Today's Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. Daf vavam beis Monday. And then we will skip to the tzedakah sugyas. And everyone can, of course, fill in bikkios over Shavasim, you know, if you want to go straight. And then we will go to the third parak after Hanukkah. What does the Birkas Shmuel say? I never say Birkas Shmuel. Maybe in Sifta I can. Beer both an achish. The kol shol chazaka was the most.
I just move you a little bit.
What does he say? Okay, sure. I have to look at it inside, but it sounds like what he's saying is
that there's a lot of